Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 512, Science Faction, the Leprosy Mystery.
It sounds like a gruesome mystery. Like, at the end of it, you're just going to see a person who kind of once looked a lot more like a person. And at the end of the mystery, you just lose a part of your soul. You can never get back.
We're going to have an interesting talk about leprosy because for this main article, I actually did a decently in-depth research into leprosy. And I got to say, for a disease that's old as shit, a lot of the stuff I thought I knew about it was totally false. And a lot of the stuff we now know about it has only come about in like the last 20 years, which is weird because we now have like the least amount of lepers on the... Oh, sorry. I actually learned that was somewhat of a slur. People with leprosy on the face of the earth. So it is kind of interesting.
Very ableist of you, Bobby. We use person first language. So we don't describe people by their affliction or condition.
And speaking of a person first, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damien Mercado. Damien, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And I actually feel like I knew a little bit more about leprosy than you, and not for any other reason than when you're a white guy named Damien. And yeah, a lot of my ancestors are Latino, but nobody would ever look at me and make that assumption. So
no.
When you're a white guy named Damien, first off, here's every time you meet somebody who thinks they're funny. Damien, like the Omen or like the devil. Now, if you haven't seen The Omen, it was a 1970s horror movie where this kid named Damien was essentially the devil or the son of the devil, right? So everybody knows that. But in reality, I was named after the patron saint of lepers, which is almost worse than the son of the devil.
The patron saint of lepers sounds like he's missing appendages.
Yeah, he's this, even in heaven, he didn't get his limbs back. He looks like that dad from Braveheart, just wrapped up in bandages. He lived in Hawaii, so he was an American, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And he was the patron saint of lepers. He worked with lepers in Hawaii. And because of that, I had to learn about leprosy. And like one of the treatments is like just they attach a tattoo gun to an electrode and just blast.
Also, what was your mom thinking? Like, I hope one day he gets a really bad disease. Like, what is the naming of Damien supposed to be imply about your future?
Well, because my mom is half Mexican, but she believes she's like 150% Mexican. And so she knows
that's Mexican math for you.
There is a Latino tradition. And my mom, and because of that, my mom believes she's 150% Catholic on top of that 150% Mexican. And so as a result, she abides by a lot of traditions that she herself was not a part of for the most part growing up. And one of them is you name all of your children after saints. But here's the thing. She gave up after me. I don't know if there's a Saint Joe, whatever. But if there is, that might be possible. Saint Joseph. Joseph, that's a biblical name.
That's so good.
But the next two daughters, she had twin daughters next, and their names are Alexis and Crystal. The number one TV show when they were born was a show called Dynasty, and the main two characters were twin sisters named Alexis.
Saint Alexis and Saint Crystal.
So she abandoned the Catholic thing. It'd be like if you had a kid named Urkel in the 90s.
I'm kind of surprised she didn't abandon it earlier and you were just named JR.
Why am I Patrick Duffy?
Oh, and if you guys want to learn more about leprosy and Patrick Duffy, you can see our first ever Patreon episode, which will be I Call BS this week. You can go ahead and check out Patreon. It is Robert Timothy Patreon, but we will have all the links on our Facebook page. You can also message us there if you for some reason can't see it. We'll make sure that is totally available to you. I might even put it in the show notes of this particular episode, but this will be our first ever Patreon episode. We hope you join up and listen. If you don't, however, we want to keep you listening. So not only will these main episodes be free, but we're also going to be doing something called the Lightning Round, which we haven't done in a while. And we're going to release that for free on Thursday or Friday. But if you want your good old-fashioned I Call BS, if you want to see Damien push that rock up the hill like Sisyphus and yet never be able to get to the top for reasons of his own doing.
Not by design.
Go ahead and check out our Patreon and you can listen to I Call BS. There's also a bunch of cool merch that are coming out. And we have some actual good tiers of stuff. We're going to talk about them a little bit later, but there will be things where you can actually make an appearance on Science Faction. We are also going to start taking a little bit more suggestions from fans, especially those who are on our Patreon, in terms of stories to cover, and some pretty neat swag that is going to be Patreon only. Eventually, we will have our regular merch store, but none of our Patreon only stuff will go there. That is Patreon only, so...
It is only for I, Patreon.
Yes, of course. I forgot Patreon, our most fun new contributor slash guest slash perverted robot.
Yeah, he's humping my leg right now. All right, I got to close the door. Hold on. I'm going to just keep going.
Oh, dear. And I talked a little bit about this online. This happened. This is a weird thing. I got an email randomly. It was like, hey, Robert, Timothy, your podcast is doing really well in Belgium. And it wasn't just a homeless guy. It was like a pod stats thing. And I was like, that's really bizarre because like we don't advertise. We especially don't advertise in Belgium. You know, English is not the primary language spoken in Belgium. And as we've talked about, we haven't done a Jean-Claude Van Damme only episode for at least 30 episodes. So I have no idea what is going on, but apparently we are very recently quite big in Belgium. So hello to all of our new Belgian listeners. We love that you are listening or are some kind of weird Russian troll bots. I don't know what it is, but regardless, we thought, man, this was so noticeable because all of our first place in terms of listeners per week is always going to be the United States. But then it's usually Canada or the UK are usually tied for second or around second tied for that. And then there might be Australia or a New Zealand or something in there, but they're all English speaking countries and they're pretty much the same every single week. All of a sudden last week out of nowhere, Belgium jumped up and we're getting hundreds of listens per week from Belgium.
To be fair, and so most Belgians speak better English than most Americans.
True, and they speak better chocolate. I've now mentioned Jean-Claude Van Damme and chocolate, so I've mentioned two of the four things I know about Belgium.
Van Damme and chocolate both go straight to my thighs.
Yeah.
Damn straight he does.
So we decided we wanted to appreciate our Belgian listeners, and Damien's going to bring back a bit that we used to do a while ago where we would talk about a specific location in which our numbers were growing, and in this case, we're going to talk about different parts of Belgium as long as we keep getting all these Belgian listeners. So if you're from another country and you'd like Damien to make fun of wherever you're from, go ahead and gather all your friends or at least get together a bunch of old computers and sign up for Science Faction. But for now, Damien, could you tell us a little bit about where you're going to talk about today in Belgium and what exactly we should learn about those people?
Exactly. I went on the internet and I learned some interesting facts about Belgium. I've been told that my fact-giving style comes off as if you're being roasted at a Friars Club event. Mm-hmm. So it might sound like that, but the idea is we didn't know how long the people of Belgium would be digging on us, so we weren't going to roast Belgium every week. So we thought, what if we were to roast different cities in Belgium each week that Belgium was digging on Science Faction? So we're starting with the big city, Brussels.
Uh-huh.
So here goes. Brussels is the home of the EU headquarters, which was an intentional choice to make sure nobody took the organization seriously. Fun fact. Brussels is Europe's Toledo, Ohio. It's also a must visit if it's your fourth time visiting Europe. Brussels is a premier travel destination for people who aren't fuckable enough to get the most out of Prague.
Wait a second. I feel like with the prostitution and the quote-unquote hostile tourism travel, I feel like you get almost anything out of Prague.
Brussels plays techno in their libraries. The only capital city in Europe more bland than the sprout for which it is presumably named. Winning a free trip to Brussels is not unlike receiving an unwanted hug. Brussels is incredibly grateful for their German neighbors, without whom they would be the weird ones of Europe.
That is true. You hear that, Dr. Ava?
Brussels is to European capital cities as Adam Sandler movies are to movies.
Man, you really roasted Brussels.
Take that, Brussels.
All right, Damien, you got to wrap it up. I mean, it's great to make fun of people from Brussels, but we got to get on to some science. You have one more seemingly insulting thing to say about this place where a whole bunch of people are now listening to us?
We'll see how effective this is at driving them away. The people of Brussels, too effeminate to be real Germans, too ugly to be real French.
All right. Thank you, Belgian people. I hope you keep listening after this. And I hope if you're from another country and you want to jump up, listen, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, like Dwayne out there in New Zealand, a couple other countries, you could jump up. You could take this spot, this second place spot. It's really only a few hundred listens per week. You just need a couple hundred friends to really make this happen. Now, no one's going to usurp the U.S. We're at a couple thousand listens per week there. But if you just get up there, you can take that second or third place spot pretty easily. So if you like hearing horrible things about your country, then you know, take the proverbial roast me post-it note and put it on Reddit, because Damien is about to come after you guys.
I will give you the same treatment that I gave Brussels, a city that Zagitz has ranked 3 years in a row as a tier 3 European city.
All right, let's move right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
Article number one, leprosy in chimps and a possible mystery.
Were a bunch of chimps making out with some people on a leper colony in Hawaii? What?
Do you know where chimps live?
I feel like any answer I give is going to be wrong.
The
jungle?
Yeah, the jungles of Hawaii.
Curious George lived in a city in a house. That is the only thing I know about chimps.
He's not a chimp. All right, so leprosy is caused by a bacteria, and that is the reason it's no longer really an issue, because we have antibiotics that are now quite effective at fighting it. And so we have found an antibiotic cocktail that's quite good at knocking down leprosy, which is why we don't have leprosy colonies anymore. And it's been around since ancient times. We have recordings of it from the ancient Greeks, from other ancient cultures. We have evidence of it in the remains of people from, again, the Middle East and ancient India. And the genetics seem to indicate that not only has it been around since, you know, antiquity, since recorded history, but actually we seem to be able to diverge the genetic lineages of different leprosy groups to seem to indicate that it actually was around as human beings were kind of coming out of Africa and spreading throughout the world. So at least 50 some odd thousand years ago, if not before then. And so ancient disease, been with us for a long time, caused a lot of problems, by the way. And for a decent amount of time was a disease that was not only super widespread, you're talking about millions of people infected in the beginning of the 20th century, but also like a pretty horrible disease as it spread through your body.
How do you catch leprosy? Like, do you have sex with a zombie, basically? Like what?
Well, originally, yes. One person has to have sex with a zombie.
What am I going to do, just not fuck the zombie? Come on, what are you doing?
This is what was interesting. Do you remember growing up when we were kids, when you would see a cartoon depiction of leprosy or a movie depiction of leprosy, you caught leprosy from touching a person with leprosy, right? Like, I think that was like the Man in the Iron Mask and a few other things. Like,
I was forced to teabag that leper.
Yeah, like, we learned that leprosy was basically herpes of the rest of the body. And, like, you will caught it by touching the sore if you touch someone. We now realize that leprosy actually is, it's oddly similar to COVID, only a bacterial infection, not a virus. It's transmitted respiratorily. So, like, you would most likely breathe it in and it would infect the mucous membranes of your nose. And then it would spread to different parts of your body. And also from cartoons and whatnot, I thought that when you got infected with leprosy, essentially part of your body rotted off. And like would just fall off. And it turns out that's not at all what's happening. What's happening is when the bacteria infects you, basically the blood vessels of certain extremities get swelled up to the point where they like damage the nerves and stuff around it, and they cut off nerve circulation, and you can't feel those extremities, like your arms and your legs. There'll be certain parts that are numb. Like the hallmark of leprosy isn't parts of your body falling off, it's parts of your body going numb. Well, what happens is, if your hand goes completely numb, a few things happen. One is you no longer produce sweat from that area, and two, you don't feel it. So your skin cracks, it breaks, you rub it against things, you get infections from just breaks in your skin.
But you can give yourself a hand job now.
Yeah, the ghost and the stranger. So
my favorite Shel Silverstein poem.
Where the hand job ends.
Yours is better.
So because you can't feel that wound and your skin is cracked, you end up getting secondary infections, and those infections cause like gangrenous things, and then your limbs have to be amputated. So it's not necessarily that like leprosy causes your limbs to fall off, much like tequila does in that famous country song To Close. Like what's actually happening,
tequila makes her limbs fall off. Oh my god.
Why do we keep drinking this?
Why has she learned her lesson?
What's actually happening is that the leprosy is causing you to be essentially paralyzed in that part of your body. You're getting secondary infections, and those infections cause that area of your body to have to be taken off or cut off or some damage to it. Now, there's also a thing that can happen where, because the nerves are not being supplied, then your cartilage starts to essentially degrade. So parts like your nose, they don't necessarily fall off. But think about somebody who's got a really bad Coke problem, and they like destroy the inner cartilage of their nose with too much Coke. A similar thing happens with leprosy. I'm guessing it's less fun to get that way, but like they essentially lose the cartilage. And so places like your nose do deflate, and then cartilage at the end of your fingers and like your ears and stuff will deflate and essentially get reabsorbed through your body. But it's very different than kind of the cartoon example that I always thought, which is just like you went to go shake somebody's hand and your arm fell off.
Yeah, I suppose that's more realistic. Although if you had to choose between how your average person with leprosy gets the cartilage gone in their nose versus how Artie Lang did it, I think I'd prefer the leper.
No, Artie Lang had a great time.
Well, he did until he did one. Okay, yes. Everything leading up to the one. Apparently the story about how his nose is so messed up right now was that basically he did a line of glass. He was so messed up that there was crushed glass and he thought this was drugs and just did a line.
Yeah, well, again, the lead up to it was undoubtedly way more fun than the leprosy lead up. But very interesting. So one... Again, I had no idea how you actually catch leprosy, which is you inhale it, it gets into your nose. You don't get it from touching somebody. Number two, I had no idea how the disease actually worked. I thought parts of your body were falling off. That's not what's happening. But number three, what's really interesting is it's very, very not contagious. So people can be around people with leprosy quite often, and they'll almost never get sick. In fact, 95% of the population is essentially immune to leprosy. You just won't get it. Your immune system stops it. In fact, there's some weird parallels between the same genetic predisposition for things like leprosy and Parkinson's disease, which is weird. And it might have similar things to do with a deficient immune system in certain ways. But basically, most people do not get leprosy, which is why we could have those leper colonies that you were talking about, Damien, where you could have a priest living there. I think the priest you mentioned, I think he lived there for like 15 years before he finally got leprosy. Most people's immune system will handle it just fine. And then maybe your immune system gets down because you have some kind of disease or something like that. And eventually you get infected. But for the most part, you can be around people with leprosy a lot and not catch it. And now we have this antibiotic treatment, and we have taken it down from literally millions of people worldwide at a time when the population was much smaller to, I think now the current population of people with leprosy in the world is about 200,000, and they're concentrated mainly in India. India has like 60 some odd percent of people with leprosy. I think there's like 20% in Brazil, and then like a 12% in Indonesia, and the rest are spread around sub-Saharan Africa. So there's only a few places on earth where you can even still get leprosy.
I don't have a photographic memory. That might surprise some of our listeners, and probably you as well, Bobby. But
no, you do have a pornographic memory.
Yes, I'm remembering everything. Every childhood memory is just fucking. I remember it in a pornographic setting. It's acted out by adults.
I know. I just meant you could remember any porn.
W. Dallas, 1972. But I know that we've talked about leprosy only a few times in our long run, and I can remember one time because it was such an interesting fact to me. Was that a lot of people in the South were getting leprosy from the American South, were getting leprosy from armadillos, because apparently armadillos, they were just, I don't know, catching armadillo roadkill and eating it or handling them as pets. And apparently armadillos are one of the few species that just naturally carry leprosy.
Yes, exactly. No, so here's some funny things. I thought that this was like a natural reservoir of leprosy, like it's always existed within armadillos, and then we go touch them. And by the way, let's be honest. Yes, there's probably some roadkill, but if you're in the South and you see an armadillo walking by, like that's...
I'm gonna fuck it.
Yeah, it's too weird an animal not to go up and mess around with it a little bit. You're gonna push it, you're gonna roll it on its back and laugh at it and stuff. Like, you're not going to school. What the fuck else are you gonna do? You don't have a job.
Look at this armadillo making me think homosexual thoughts. Better have sex with it.
So here is something that I learned also in this research, is that I assumed this was just a disease that was endemic in armadillos and that they're one of the things. No, it turns out leprosy didn't exist in the New World. It came here with European colonizers who then early on transmitted it to armadillos. And armadillos are one of the few species in which leprosy can exist other than human beings, probably because they have such a low body temperature. They have like a lower than average mammalian body temperature. And so they pass it around between themselves, and now they occasionally pass it back to us. But it's not like they've always had it. You know, some conquistador 400 years ago, like you said, probably fucked an armadillo, and that is why that population now has it, and that is why people in Georgia now randomly get it when they are playing armadillo, you know, roadkill games.
Look at that armored rat. It is making me think homosexual thoughts. Let us have sex with it.
That'll show up. We've also found in the last 20 years that there's a reservoir of leprosy in a certain species of squirrel in the United Kingdom. That species of squirrel had a boom in terms of their pelts being used for hats and stuff in the, you know, I don't know, Middle Ages or something like that. That might have spread leprosy a bunch too. Those are the only two ones we know in the wild that get it. But again, the study of the squirrels seems to indicate that we think we gave it to squirrels and now they occasionally give it back to us. We don't know. This is the really interesting thing. We don't know what the original, the endemic creature is that leprosy grows on. And unlike other bacteria, leprosy is really unique. It's one of the things that make it really hard to study in the lab. Leprosy cannot grow outside of an individual. If we want to do it in a lab, we have to inject it into like the foot pads of mice or into armadillos, because unlike other bacteria cultures, it can't just grow in a petri dish. It is actually genetically defective in such a way that it has to be in tissue, living tissue, in order to survive. And so it's not that it can come from the soil, at least not now, maybe millions of years ago or anything. It has to actually be transmitted from person to person or person to animal to person, et cetera, et cetera.
It seems to spring up whenever an animal makes somebody think a homosexual thought. That is my anecdotal experience.
Well, it's interesting because it indicates that there is, you know, some animal that gave it to us, and maybe that animal went extinct, and you know, that's kind of what we've thought for a while. Who knows what this animal is? Maybe it went extinct. Maybe we just never see it anymore. Maybe it's off in the middle of the jungle. Again, it gave it to us a long time ago, tens of thousands of years ago, so maybe that animal could have gone extinct, and we've just been passing it around between ourselves since then, and as soon as we get rid of it altogether and people, it'll go out, it'll die. That has been the thought, or one of many thoughts, up until 2 weeks ago. When this article got published, this is actually not even published yet, it's technically in preprint right now. Very interesting one. This started in 2017, where a chimpanzee researcher in Western Africa noticed some weird sores on the face of the chimp that she saw in a camera. They had a camera trap. And she's like, what the fuck are these sores? What is going on? What's wrong? Like, is this chimp need proactive? What's going on? And she sent it out to the other chimp researchers. Anybody seen this? No, I haven't seen this. And then a while later, about a year later, another researcher got back to her from a different chimp colony, like 100 kilometers away, pretty far, farther than a chimp's natural range. And he's like, I got one too. And they're like, what could this possibly be? What are all these sores on the face of this chimp? And somebody says, I wonder if this is leprosy.
All of them had their dicks in armadillos. So like that was another fact you left out. Like,
armadillos are new world, Damien. They could not get there.
The mystery continues together.
So they were like, okay, well, we got to do some research. So they actually went out. They looked at a bunch of necropsy tissues. So like tissues from chimp autopsies, quite literally. And they looked at DNA from feces, from chimp droppings, all of this stuff.
It was thrown at them before they had it.
They found indeed a case of a chimp who had been killed by a leopard in 2009. It had had leprosy. They found some feces from a different chimp group in which leprosy was present in the DNA of the feces. And they realized, holy fuck, leprosy is in chimps, in wild chimps. We knew before that it could get into captive chimp populations in like a zoo setting, but we had no idea that it could get into wild chimps, because that would imply that they're getting it from somewhere. It's not people, or it most likely isn't people, because people don't get that close to chimps. Again, you have to have a lot of contact. You have to be pretty close to them on long ends. And again, only 200,000 people in the world have leprosy. We can kind of look around and be like, hey, chimp researchers, anybody here with leprosy? No? Okay, still a mystery.
Nobody ever answers honestly at that question. You got to keep asking. You could have questionnaires where they ask the same question, but in slightly different ways, and you hope they just slip up.
It'd be great if it was like an STD test where like you got an anonymous call one day, like, listen, I know we didn't end on great terms, but I need you to go into a doctor's right now and get tested for leprosy.
Oh my God. Or you walk in during the presentation and you start saying all these offensive separate stereotypes about people with leprosy. Like, I shook a leper's hand the other day. Notice my use of language. And his hand fell off. And you just look in the audience to see who's offended. or who speaks up, that's not true. That doesn't happen like that.
I mean, to be fair, that would be me right now, because I now know it's offensive and that doesn't happen that way. So then you would have pegged me as a person with leprosy.
I just would look at him and he would be the guy not laughing.
So this is the first ever case that we know of in wild chimps. We didn't even know wild chimps could get it. And by the way, not only we don't know any researchers with leprosy, the strain of leprosy is a very rare one in human beings. So it's not one that we would expect if a human being did pass it on. It would not be this strain of leprosy. So where the fuck did it come from? This is the beginning of a scientific mystery that might actually answer a much bigger, older scientific mystery of what the original animal natural reservoir is for leprosy. Obviously, if we're talking this, it must be in West Africa. It must be something they come in contact with. There is some interesting lab research that indicates it might be able to, you know, be transmitted by insects or something like that. Right now, rodents are a good candidate. Like I said, we know it can get in the paws of certain rodents, and we know chimps have contact with rodents in many cases, but right now we don't know, and we need extensive research to figure it out. By the way, we also can't treat these chimps, because the treatment for leprosy, if you have like the easy kind of leprosy, it's 6 months of antibiotics. The hard kind, it's 12 months of antibiotics. Pretty hard to administer that to a wild chimp. Like, you need a Steve Irwin to pop out of the bushes with the antibiotic blow dart every 12 hours and pop the same chimp over and over again, and that ain't gonna happen. So thanks, Obama. And so
I thought the cure was going to be they just can't have bananas for a year. I'm like, good luck. Might as well not even be a cure.
But very interesting, because if we do the research and we do narrow it down and we do figure out what the natural reservoir is, one, that might help us, you know, fight the disease, because we could find a more ancestral strain of it, and that'll help us with the research of it. Again, we have some pretty good antibiotics that work now, so that's not necessarily it. But also, two, is just answering this mystery that is literally 60,000 years old and has been plaguing our species that entire time with this horrible disease that ends up really devastating lives. Up until like the 1980s was when we really figured it out, Damien. So like around the time we were born, we were really figuring out leprosy. And for the 300,000 years of human evolution before that, we were, you know, in some stages of being fucked by it.
What if that was the reason, you know, so I was born, maybe before I was born, this guy, the guy I was named after was a saint. He was curing people, if not with verified miracles. All of a sudden we found out, oh, just cured with antibiotics. My mom was like, I'm not getting fooled again. All my kids are going to be named after daytime TV stars.
Yeah, you're lucky it wasn't a few years later. Your sisters would have been named Blanche and what's the other Golden Girl?
Which
Dorothy?
Might you be referring to Blanche Devereaux, Southern Beauty, Rose Nyland, dim-witted Minnesota native, Dorothy Snorbnack, played flawlessly by Bea Arthur, and Estelle Getty, who was younger than the rest of the castmates, but played the mom.
Okay, so remember how you used to say that I was alienating the audience with 1980s TV references?
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, I was the only one to masturbate to Rue McClanahan's Blanche Devereaux. Yeah, okay. By the way, I'd like to point out that, like, when we were a kid, like, I think I saw a meme recently, Blanche Devereaux, who is, like, the sexy old lady. And I don't know if you've seen the show. It's a delightful show, but I wouldn't go so far as to say Blanche was a sexy old lady. And she played somebody who's 60, whereas, like, today, J-Lo plays a 60 that, like, I'd sell my soul to like have her just touch me one time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're much better than the 80s in a lot of ways.
Our 60-year-olds are way hotter. Our mature porn is so much better than our fathers had it.
I mean, there's a reason everybody was fucking armadillos in the 80s. guys, we used up so much time, I can't even fully get into the second article. I do want to mention it, though. Really interesting article in which a guy had a hypothesis about checking out whether or not he could track supernova explosions through history by looking at tree rings or dendrochronology. Long story short, as massive super... Well, maybe. He's actually not sure yet. When supernova explosions go off, you know, we get bombarded by more cosmic rays. Cosmic rays are what create C14 in our atmosphere. It's the reason there's different amounts of C14 at different times. That's why you have to have calibrated C14 dates, which is what we've talked about before using dendrochronology. Anyway, this researcher thought, hey, maybe I could actually look at these tree rings, find times when C14 was way more prominent on Earth and correlate that to possible supernovas, which we could then check on because we can kind of see where the supernova exploded and nebulas around it. Very interesting paper. It's still too preliminary for it to be anything. In fact, it's actually looked at very skeptically right now, so take it with a grain of salt. I thought it was kind of neat, the idea that somebody could be looking at something as like basic as tree rings, which was how they could date things in the 1700s, and you'd be able to look at something like that and see what was going on in, you know, galaxies far away.
Whereas like dendrochronology is into sexy science.
No.
Arguably.
Not unless you pop the center ring out.
I'd recommend lubing up the interior, some Vaseline or something.
Yeah, it's no armadillo watching, you know.
There's still a lot of other things I think I'd rather have sex with before that tree ring. I forgot what were we talking about again? Penis splinters. No, that wasn't it.
Yeah.
Do you think there'll ever be a... So dendrochronology, still sexier than archaeology, but do you think that there's a that archaeology...
It's a side piece to archaeology. It helps archaeology date certain things. It's archaeology's... It's the mistress that archaeology sees when it's in a bad neighborhood.
Oh, I would have think it was more like... Archaeology is the wife you dread coming home to. Dendrochronology is the sexy girl from high school who's slumming it with you right now because she has abandonment issues.
All right, audience. Thank you so much for coming back for Science Faction 512, where you learned all about why you don't want to go to Belgium, how we have the first ever case of leprosy in wild chimpanzees, and how you might be able to tell when supernova happened from tree rings, but probably not. Thank you so much for joining us. Come on back later this week for Science Faction 513, and if you want your weekly dose of I Call BS, go ahead and join our Patreon. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 513.
Chimps can get leprosy, but they can't get syphilis, no matter how many times I try to give it to them.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait. That's not right.